Let's pray before we begin. God, you who are, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for the unexpected nature of your grace. And we ask that as we study the text today, that we might understand better who you are, who we are, and our role in your world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Music comes in many forms, and each form has a lot to offer us. Music itself can access parts of our brain that are not usually combined, actually activating every part of our brains, while decreasing stress, leading to greater memory and recall, clarity, and understanding. As I was prepping for this week with our time in the text, I was reminded of a song, a traditional African-American spiritual often called Down by the Riverside. The extended version, written and recorded by Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who is the godmother of rock and roll, tells a story about the relief of forgiveness through lines like this. I feel so bad in the morning. I feel so bad in the middle of the day. I feel so bad in the evening. That's why I'm going to the river to wash my sins away. I'm going to lay down my heavy load down by the riverside. I ain't gonna study war no more, down by the riverside. I'm gonna put on my white robe, down by the riverside. This song celebrates the joy of being released from the daily weight of sin, the challenges of sin's burden that affects us. It expresses the celebration and peace that come from being released from guilt. The lyrics also reference the rest that comes when we are relieved from our physical and spiritual burdens, that feeling of newness that forgiveness can bring. What a song of joy and relief. The psalm today starts in a similar way and walks us through many of the same emotions. It was a psalm written specifically with the intention of playing music with it, so it's a song as well as a psalm. Let's read this text, Psalm 32, 1-7, in the New International Version. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. This psalm is in four clear parts, and since we know that this particular psalm was intended to be set to music, we can see this as four movements of a song. The first is that of freedom and joy. The psalmist starts with the word happy or blessed. This is no small thing, but the current state of the psalm writer. They are now in a place of joy, of happiness, being blessed by their state of freedom. They want to tell those around them what a gift, what a place of gratitude to be experiencing the lifting of that guilt. Notice that they don't say, blessed are those who never sin, but rather blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose sins the Lord does not count against them. That's when we shift from reflecting on this past point for the writer. The second movement speaks when the writer was not forgiven, remembering specifically when they had not spoken to God about it. They say when they were silent about their sin and its burden on them, it was as if their very bones were crumbling, disintegrating within them, that they were groaning in pain all day, as if every hour of the day and night there was a heavy hand on them. In the midst of this, they were only able to focus on the weight of their sin, as if to say their strength was sapped, like standing in the hot summer sun. Those of us in Kansas, this feeling is not unfamiliar to you, whether it's physical or spiritual. This all-consuming guilt and shame, the heaviness of sin in your heart and mind. It is so much to bear that it is as if you have no energy, as if you are weighted down, making your whole body fragile, drained of energy, your limbs like lead on your body. That is the reality of sin, unspoken and unforgiven, a sin unacknowledged. It can be a near impossible weight on us. And remembering the burden of this moment almost removes the psalmist from their initial place of joy and gratitude. So challenging is their memory of their own sin and struggle. Then comes the third movement. This is a clear turn in the text of the psalm. The topic is heavier as we move into the reflection from this weight of sin, which we have all felt. Maybe you're feeling it right now. But what does the psalm writer do in response after hiding and struggling with their sin? Then I acknowledged my sin, did not cover up my iniquity. I will confess. Once the psalm writer comes to an awareness of their own heavy weight of sin and their lack of ability to do much about it, they finally move to confess. They stop hiding, stop avoiding, and they say to God, "Here is my sin." It does not even say in the text that they ask explicitly for forgiveness. It simply says that they acknowledged and did not cover up their sin any longer. God forgives them and clears the guilt of their sin. It seems clear to me that this is not the only time this has happened to the psalmist. Maybe it's the millionth, but God's forgiveness acts the same, swift and complete in its ability to clear the state and conscience of the psalm writer. The forgiveness of God is unstoppable against the sin of the psalm writer and wipes it out completely. Another interesting thing we notice in this psalm is that it is self-oriented when it speaks of sin. It is not a finger-pointing, blame-placing sort of sin conversation, nor does it even insinuate that those listening or reading should do the same. This psalm is not threatening those who do not repent. It is simply stating a personal fact and reality. When sin is heavy, when it causes you to hide, to receive relief, you can turn to the one whose ears are always listening and ready to forgive. When we think of sin, it is far easier to think of other people's sins, especially those that are very different from our sins, giving us separation from those people, allowing us to blame the ills of society on others. This psalm ignores the sin of other people, knowing that it is not the work of the psalm writer to force others into what they consider to be repentance. It is also not a psalm of wallowing in sin, pushing the reader to repent repeatedly for sins that are already forgiven. Rather, the job of the psalmist is to stop running, to speak their sin to God and receive the relief, the joy, and the peace that come from God's overwhelming forgiveness. This psalm finishes in a place of comfort. Let all the faithful pray to you, God. The fourth movement offers promises and reflections on God's goodness. God may be found by those who seek God. Rising waters, meaning threats and dangers, will not reach those who have been forgiven. Then, a statement of direct confidence in God. You are the place where I go to hide. When previously I had been the one working to hide my sin, now you, in your mercy and by your very nature, hide me from the threats around me. This is a reversal of roles. I thought I had to hide my sin from God as it was heavy on my shoulders. But now God, after my confession and forgiveness, is my refuge. It is God who hides me. God protects the psalmist from trouble, they say, and not only that, but surrounds them with songs of deliverance. There's a soundtrack to this psalm, a reminder. Just like this psalm is itself a song, that salvation is possible, a melody promised by God all around them. Sometimes shame and guilt are our hiding place. God offers us another way. By asking God, we can receive forgiveness, full stop, no exceptions. Then when we are free from the need to hide our sin or hide in our shame, we can instead take refuge in God. That means our role this week, this month, this year, our whole lives is to stop hiding. It is not an instruction by the psalmist, but rather our own understanding of what the psalmist is telling us by their experience. We can move to confession. And when we come to God and when we tell the truth, God forgives us. There is no waiting period, no hesitation. God knows the burden we carry and, like a loving parent, wishes to free us from that burden. God is also the only one who can. Your shame doesn't get you to forgiveness. No amount of guilt can transform into absolution. Only forgiveness will do. And only God can give it to us for our sins. When we seek forgiveness for the sin that burdens and distracts us, God is waiting to forgive us. I do want to be clear here that the way we read and interpret the scripture, the way that Jesus speaks of forgiveness, does not mean that we need to ask forgiveness for each individual sin in order to receive forgiveness. Our sins are not forgiven based on whether you can keep a good list of what you have done wrong. Because if so, my own forgetful mind is out of luck. Rather, God has always offered forgiveness based on God's knowledge and grace, not just our own awareness of sin. However, when you have a sin that weighs heavily on you, or a sin you've been avoiding for fear that it will, when you have a sin that it feels like it follows you, when you have a sin that keeps you up at night and occupies your mind, the psalm writer gives us good news. God is waiting eagerly to offer you forgiveness and peace. This week, the psalmist offers us an example, and we are reminded of the invitation God is extending in this text. Ask for forgiveness right now. Do not wait, and you will be freed. When we ask, God forgives, and there can be rejoicing. As we say of ourselves, "Blessed am I, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are we, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered."
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.